Well, welcome to the adult class here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's great to have you. We're going to take an offering up in the process of doing that for our Operation Thank Event Ministry and other printing needs here that we have. Brother Larry, introduce your mom to everyone. And she's from Washington, Indiana. And we're just thrilled to death that she's with us today. So folks, be sure and shake your hand, make her feel welcome. And we're just glad to have each and every one of you here. Do we have any other visitors? Would you pop your hand up if I missed anybody? Yes. Oh, okay, yes. Sister Tanya, who do you have there? Oh, great. We're so glad that you're here. Welcome to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Fantastic. Yes. Grand, fantastic. Tell me who you are. Oh, we're glad that you're here. God bless you. Welcome to Blessed Hope. Good, good, good. Emily and Todd. All righty. Next hour, we'll give you a visitor's packet and some gifts from our church and also a visitor's card we'd like you to fill out. We'll give you all of that stuff in the next preaching hour. And well, it's good to see everybody. Hope you've had a good week. Brother, if they don't give, just keep passing it to them. All right? I'm kidding. Let's see here. Put it over here. All right. I'm kidding. Just harassing this group right down here. So. Oh, my goodness sakes. Yeah, folks. I just can't believe that I keep looking on our prayer sheet, and since my sister makes it up, I keep looking for Duke to appear on there, you know, for prayer, but hasn't been there yet. So maybe he doesn't think they need prayer. Maybe he thinks they're that good that they don't need prayer. So. I can't believe a Duke fan has invaded our Indiana congregation. And the thing is that y'all aren't doing a good job. He's an unconverted Duke fan. I mean, have you been trying? Have you been witnessing or doing anything to try to minister to his heart's needs, you know? And then to allow some people in this church to root openly for the Pittsburgh Steelers all the way. Not root for Indianapolis Colts. Root for a foreign country. Yeah. Over there in the province of Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh Steelers. I cannot believe that kind of thing is openly happening in our church. So, you folks, we have problems. I'm sorry, visitors, to air this out in front of everybody, but we obviously have some spiritual problems we need prayer with around here. So, Chicago Bears, no, that's practically a suburb of Jacksonville. So. we better get in the Bible, hadn't we? Galatians chapter 5. I don't miss the message tonight. I'm so excited about the message I'm going to preach tonight. I really want to preach it this morning. But I'm not supposed to. And so I've talked to the Lord about it many times, and he keeps telling me just stick with the plan. And Galatians chapter 5. Well, I pray you've had a good week. Boy, didn't we have a good month of February. Wasn't that sweet? I told Cheryl, I can't believe it. Tomorrow morning, I don't have anybody to teach Sunday school and preach. I'm actually going to have to study this week. I just can't believe that. So, but boy, that was a blessing. I appreciate each and every thing the Lord did in my heart, and I'm just still kind of a buzz over that whole missions emphasis month. And so, praise the Lord. We'll just ask the Lord to continue to guide and do sweet things. There's some things I'll catch you up on in the course of the next day or so. Tonight we'll go over, if you haven't, by the way, if you're interested in doing this and you've somehow missed out on filling out one of the missions pledge cards and you want to get involved in that, they're on the back of information desk. But I'm so pleased with, I think, the way the Lord has stirred our hearts. And there's just a lot of things going on. I'll kind of catch you up tonight a little bit on all that, okay? We're going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit, get back on track. The fruit of the Spirit, verse number 22, Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless. Please help me to have clarity of mind. I want to rightly divide the word of God. And Lord, we all need to hear from heaven. This book, it's sad to say, this book, this wonderful Bible, the precious Word of God, has become an ignored book in today's society. And it's just wonderful to see this great group of people coming to the church this morning. And Lord, we're here because in some places there are still people that care about what the Word of God says. And I thank you for that, Lord. It's exciting to be able to be in a church that doesn't just treat the Bible as a book of suggestions, but really wants to hear from your word and to learn. And Lord, if there's adjustments that we need to make in the process of studying your word, and there always will be, there always will be, I pray, Lord, that some of the things that we learned this morning or are reminded of will help us to become more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, dear Holy Spirit of God, we've talked about you, and we're going to talk to you about this morning. I pray that every Christian here would have a renewed relationship with you. I pray, Lord, we'd be aware of your presence in our life and what you're trying to produce through us and in us. And, Lord, that you would help us to fight this constant battle of getting self and sin out of the way so that the fruits of the Spirit of God can be manifest in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I spent several weeks on love, because, and I kind of did that on purpose. I wanted to talk about this first fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the capital S-P-I-R-I-T is love, and we spent several weeks on that. I really feel like the Lord is directing in this, unless he changes my thinking. I'm going to take 1 week and do joy 1 week, and then the next week peace and long-suffering, and do one of these a week. Now, all of these are worthy of several weeks of examination. But I want to introduce to you each of these attributes, define them for you, and then show you how the Holy Spirit wants to produce this particular fruit in our lives. And so let's begin by addressing the fruit this week, and that fruit is joy, J-O-Y. Remember the old chorus we used to sing, Jesus and others in you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. How many of you know that chorus, have heard that chorus, okay? How many of you have never heard that chorus? I'm going to have to tell Brother Casper, that'd be a good one to add to the Sunday school repertoire. Jesus and others in you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others in you. And you know what? I think that you're going to find that that is a very biblical principle. You know, any time, folks, that we get more concerned about us and we get that Y at the beginning of the word, Y-O-J doesn't spell joy. It spells yoj, I guess. I have no idea what it is. Yoj. But it doesn't produce joy in your life either. And if you want to have the joy of the Lord in your heart, and I'll explain a little bit about what that means. First of all, let's take a few minutes and define joy. What is, Brother Jerry, I think I know what it means. Well, let's take a minute and put it under the microscope for a second here, and then we're going to get into the Bible and just give you some Bible principles about joy. Hey, do you have the joy of the Lord in your heart? Has this week you been able to, despite all of the circumstances or the condition of the world or whether things went right or wrong on any particular day, is there steady, everlasting, solid, calm delight that reigns and rules in your heart and life? There ought to be, and there can be. And so let's look at that. Now, first of all, let me contrast two concepts here in our introduction, okay? On this side, there's happiness. And happiness is different than joy. Now, let me explain the difference. If you take both these words and put them under the microscope, and you even take them and study them from a biblical standpoint, you'll find that happiness is different than joy. Everyone wants to be happy, and so many folks are trying to be happy in this day and age, but the honest truth, very few people are happy. Now, let me tell you why. Let me tell you the difference between happy. Well, Brother Jerry, it just seems like I'm not happy. It just seems like there's this inner grief, this inner sorrow that I deal with, this just big empty place. Let me tell you the difference between happiness and joy, okay? Let me just define that. Happiness comes from the root word for happenings, okay, or something that happens. Happiness and happens, they come from the same root word, okay? And so happiness is basically controlled by exterior influences. For instance, the world wants to be happy, so you know what they do? They're sitting around, they're not happy. They've got this big black, you know, dark cloud inside of them. I want to be happy. Why aren't I happy? I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to go do something or go somewhere or go find something that will make me be happy. Now listen to me very carefully, because this is what the world continually does. They walk around in a state of unhappiness. So you know what I'll do? I'll go out to the parties on Friday night, and for a little while, I'll have some exterior happening that will cause me to be happy for a little while. And then we'll go to the amusement park, and we'll take a day and we'll ride the loopity-loop, and we'll eat too much cotton candy, and we'll play and have a good time. And for a little while, all of this exterior fun will make me happy. But the only problem with this, folks, is that, you know what? At the end of all that, you still got to go home. And at the end of that, you know what? All of that exterior stuff, you can't always bring back with you. Happiness is completely dependent on exterior circumstances or situations creating in you a reaction to them, and therefore you're happy. Well, as people say, well, if this would happen, I could be happy. If that would happen, what you're saying is, I can't be happy unless somebody or something on the outside produces within me a sense of temporary, get that, temporary happiness or temporary delight or temporary gladness, you see. Now, that's different than what the Christian experiences, you see. Because happiness from the same root word as happenings or happens, a state of delight or gladness brought about by a pleasant circumstance or event. And the world constantly is trying to run to some new, you know, let's go to the movies. Why? So I can be happy for a couple hours. Let's go to the dance so I can be happy. Let's drink this alcoholic beverage so I can be happy. Why is meth such a problem? Well, people are miserable, but they've got a drug that if they take it, might give them a certain time frame when they get numb to the unhappiness and experience through a chemical reaction a little bit of a reprieve from their unhappy condition. The only problem is, folks, it wears off. And then it continually destroys you and brings you down and makes you more unhappy. And almost everything, get this, that the devil has as a counterfeit substitute to try to give the world a few minutes of happiness never lasts. Because it's always something from the outside that has to cause an inward reaction. Now, joy is different. You see, joy is an inward cheerfulness inside of here. A calm delight. This is literally what the Greek word means. An inward cheerfulness, a calm delight, a spiritual gladness brought about by an inward condition. Now, did you get that? Joy is brought about by an inward condition, something you have in here. Happiness is the absence of that, and so you don't have that, so you're trying to get exterior things to create a momentary forgetfulness of your unhappiness, or you're trying to get something that will spark in you a little fun, a little excitement, kind of forget your problems, but the problem is you still got to go home at night. The problem is you turn your light out. The problem is you lay awake at night and you still got to be with what you are on the inside. And so that's the difference. Now, what the Holy Spirit produces in us is not a temporary happiness where he goes out and rearranges things in life so that we can be happy in little spurts. The Holy Spirit of God, when somebody's saved and the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of them, he indwells in them, he wants to produce in them from the inside out this constant fruit called joy. And that is a calm delight, an inward cheerfulness, a spiritual gladness that works from the inside out. Let me give you this. Happiness is controlled by exterior influences. Joy is maintained by an inward condition. Boy, that's so important what I just said. You see, happiness is controlled by an exterior influence. If I'm going to be happy, and that's my goal is to be happy, it's dependent on other people out there or circumstances. They are in control of how I feel in here. But when a person is saved, you know what? People are no longer in control whether or not I have happiness, because I'm not after happiness. I have joy. And you know what? Circumstances can be bad, but I can still have inward joy. People can be mean, but I can still have inward joy. Things can go wrong, but I can still have inward joy. Where somebody that doesn't have the Lord, they're completely dependent on these exterior influences trying to create momentary times, little short spurts of time where they say, wow, I'm having a good time and happy, but they never last, you see. And listen, let me give you this. My happiness can be affected by others, but my joy can only be affected by myself. Happiness comes from the outside in, but joy comes from the inside out. Isn't that good? And that's what the Holy Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is. They want to produce in us and through us this wonderful attribute of joy, of joy. Now, how do you get this? Brother Jerry, that sounds great. Oh, man, that sounds good. I'll tell you what, I'd like to have that. How do you get that inward cheerfulness? How do you walk around with a calm delight? I mean, everything is going haywire and there's problems and issues in your life. But how come some people fall apart and some people just walk around with a smile on their face and there's no difference as far as what they're facing in life? How come some people just seem to have this inward cheerfulness? And I look at their life and think, man, they ought to be depressed. Look at all these things that are going on. How come there's people that have this constant spiritual gladness and I know their life isn't perfect. I know they've got real heartaches. Let me tell you how that can happen and how you can get that joy. Number one, let me give you this. Number one, if you have never been born again, you ought to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Now, I'm just going to tell you, folks, I'm just got to be honest with you. There is no shortcut in this matter of joy. If you are unsaved, if you are unconverted, you never received Christ as your Savior, you've never been willing to humble yourself, admit you're a sinner, put your full faith in Jesus Christ, you're still planning on working your way to heaven or praying your way to heaven or just decide to live in unbelief, whatever you've decided, let me tell you, let me just ask you something. By the way, how are things going? How's it working out for you? How are things going? You Christians are a bunch of nuts. We may be. I'm guilty as charged. But we're a happy bunch of nuts. We're a joyful bunch of nuts.
Amen.
You know, I mean, the world could cluck its tongue and shake its head and sit down at the bar and talk about all the hypocrites in the church. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? We're not perfect. Never claim to be perfect. But we're happy.
Amen.
We're joyful. You know why? Because, listen, we're not dependent on a bunch of things going right out here to spark a few minutes of happiness and the rest of our time live depressed. The fruit of the Spirit of God, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God enters inside of you and he begins to produce this wonderful thing, this wonderful, constant, calm delight, this joy in knowing, you know what? No matter what happens, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. No matter what happens in this crazy world, all the upside down circumstances, God promised me that he's preparing a mansion for me. I mean, listen, even if I go my 70, if I live 70-some years and I don't have that much good things happen or that many great things to rejoice about, I've got an eternity with God waiting ahead of me. And there's just a calmness that produces. There's a joy that produces. You know, it's wonderful just being a child of God and knowing that the Father's in control. And when something goes wrong, it's not that we're not affected by it. It's just that we really believe that all things work together for good to them that love God. And so in our thinking, in a biblical mind frame, there's really no bad things that happen. There may be things that cause us sorrow. There may be things that cause us grief. But we know that that God's in control. And how many times, Christian brothers and sisters, have you seen something that you thought was bad, and yet you watched God turn that thing into something good? And so, you know, I've got the point where I don't know if bad's good, good's bad. I quit trying to figure out circumstance. I just say, you know what? God's in control, and I'm going to put it in his hands. And you know what? I'm not going to lay up and wake at night and fret and wring my hands and walk the floors. I mean, he giveth his beloved sleep. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to put it in God's hands, and then I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to get up the next day, and I'm going to live my best for the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's just wonderful to have this inward calm. But listen, you're never going to experience that. That is unknown to somebody who's not been born again, who's never been saved. Now, listen to me. I'm not up here talking about me being here and you being here. Let me tell you something. We're all in the same place. The ground's level at the cross. Anybody in here that's saved at one time sat in a church and wasn't saved or walked this earth unsaved. Listen, it isn't anything I'd done. It's what Jesus did. All I did was fall at his feet and plead for his mercy and grace and accept the free gift that he purchased by dying on the cross for my sin. There's nothing Jerry Ross can brag about. But in addition to giving me eternal life, he gave me his Spirit. And the Holy Spirit produces this wonderful joy in my heart. I mean, I don't even know why I'm... My wife said, what are you smiling about? I said, I don't know. What are you happy about? I'm walking in and out of the house, I'll laugh. She'll say, so what are you laughing about? I said, I don't know. You know, I mean, I do, but most of the time I don't want to tell her, you know. It's usually laughing at her, you know, or one of the kids or something. You know, I mean, you just, as a Christian, learn to see the upside in almost everything. And you know what? That's not me naturally. That's not Jerry Ross naturally. But, you know, there's a calm confidence in God that comes with being saved. And say, you know what? Man, it's just good that God's my Father. And it's good that he loves me. And it's good that he remembers that I'm dust. And it's good that he's forgiving, and it's good that he's patient, and it's good that he's got a plan for my life, and he knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and I don't have to worry about it, and I don't do any good worrying about it, so I'm not going to worry about it, and I'm just going to get up, and every day is a gift from God, and I'm going to squeeze it for everything I can and try to do everything I can for God and for people and live my life in an unselfish fashion and just give myself to the work of the ministry, and I'm just going to have a good time. And this went wrong. I know. And you know what? It's not that it doesn't cause me grief, but it doesn't steal my joy. And I'm not dependent on all these external things going perfectly right in order to have just a few minutes here and there of happiness. Did you get that? If you've never been saved, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Brother Jerry, I don't even know for sure if I know what you're talking about. If you died right now, can you sit there and confidently say, Brother Ross, I know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Well, Brother Jerry, I don't think anybody can know that. Let me tell you something. You're wrong. The Bible says these things are written that we may know that we have eternal life. God has not left us having to wonder about what's going to happen in eternity after we die. He's given us the wonderful means by which we can be saved for all eternity. And when you get saved, I'm telling you, it's not like all your problems go away. Sometimes you have new problems you never had before. But you know what? There's a joy there. It's just, you know, you shouldn't be happy, but you are. You shouldn't be glad, but you are. You shouldn't be calm, but you are. Boy, that's a good thing to have the Lord Jesus Christ just in your heart and his blessed spirit producing this fruit of joy. Now, number two, remember this. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit, a byproduct of being Spirit-filled. Let me just have you look at some verses because it's amazing. Every time I go to one of these, I keep reaching for my glasses and I didn't bring them, so I'm going to do the best I can to read these verses. Acts chapter 13 and verse 52. Let me just reinforce this thought because I think sometimes, you know, I'm not against this. I don't know. And I've never read the book. But the power of positive thinking. There's just something about the title that bothers me. You know, I think too many Christians are trying to conjure up the fruits of the Spirit. You can't conjure up the fruits of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of positive thinking. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Christian brethren, you say, Brother Jerry, you were just talking about being saved and having the joy of the Lord. Wait a minute. I'm saved and I don't always have the joy of the Lord. Well, remember, the joy is a fruit of the Spirit of God. And if we grieve the Holy Spirit of God and we quench the Holy Spirit of God and we ignore the Holy Spirit of God, he cannot produce the fruits that he wants to in our lives. And so Acts chapter 13 and verse number 52, let me read that. And let's do a quick Bible drill. We'll look at some verses real quick. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 52 says this, "Isn't this wonderful? And the disciples were filled with what? And with the..." See this connection there? It's amazing. Anytime it says in Acts that the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, you find the joy word somewhere around that experience, okay? And then you see Romans chapter 14. Let's go to the next book in the Bible, Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17. Romans 14, verse number 17. And you see this verse here, Romans 14, 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Boy, this is good. "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." You see that? There again, those connection there. You know what's saying there? The kingdom of God isn't, it says when it says it's not meat and drink, it said that's what the world does. They go out there and they try to party to get happiness. But you know what? When you're a member of the kingdom of God, you no longer, you understand that you can't manufacture happiness. The Holy Spirit has to do it. So what do you worry about? Righteousness, which produces peace, which produces joy. You know what? Stay right with the Lord. Christian brothers and sisters, stay right with the Lord, okay? Stay right with God, okay? Chapter 15, we're right there. Verse number 13, the same book, Romans 15, 13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And every time you see this connection, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. But is he in control of your life? Do you listen to what he says? Do you respond when he convicts you of sin? Do you follow when he tries to direct you? Do you listen while he tries to tutor you in the Word of God? Do you have a relationship, a submissive fellowship of the Holy Spirit of God and his directing in your life? You see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, let's go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, this will be the last verse we look at least now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6. Let me get turned to the right place. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 6 says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And I love this verse. You know what? See what it says there? It says exactly what we just taught a minute ago. Here is a group of people that because of their Christian faith, was under much affliction. But then it goes on to say right after that, comma, with joy of the Holy Ghost. You hear that? What it's saying is, you know what, Christians? The external things in life can be really, really bad. But you can still have the joy of the Holy Spirit inside of your life in spite of your heart. Listen, stop relying on everything going around you, going right or well, or everybody treating you the way you think they ought to, or everybody saying the thing they ought to say, or everybody being concerned to the point they ought to be concerned, or this person didn't do that or that, and therefore I'm unhappy. If people would just change, let me tell you, your happiness or unhappiness, how you feel on the inside, has nothing to do with anybody else, and it has nothing to do with the circumstances of life. Oh, Brother Jerry, you're wrong. If you knew my situation, let me say it again. Your inward joy is not dependent upon this person, that person, this circumstance, that circumstance. Listen, it's not the fruit of external circumstances. It's the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, you can have the joy of the Lord even in times of great affliction. Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a calm delight. I'm talking about a constant spiritual gladness. I'm talking about an inward cheerfulness and contentment. That ought to be the norm, folks, in our Christian life. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is there, and He wants to produce that in our lives, you see. Now, let's go on. There's so many things, okay? Now, go to Psalms chapter 51. What robs a Christian of this joy? Psalms 51, boy, wouldn't it be great if we had the time to do a thorough study of Psalms chapter 51. But most of you that are somewhat familiar with the book, with the Psalms, know that Psalms 51 was written by David after he fell into deep sin. Now, let me give you this. Joy can be lost through unconfessed sin, and it can be restored by getting right with God. Now, I'm just going to tell you, there's no shortcut here. Okay, you can't be a born-again Christian and live in sin and have unconfessed sin in your life and not have your joy robbed from you to a certain extent. Now, David starts out in verse number 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." Now, what you're listening to here is a beautiful prayer of repentance from the heart of a Christian man who has done something terribly wrong, and he's guilty before God, and because of that, he is in a miserable condition. Now, folks, are we going to sin? Yes, we are. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the worst thing to do is to have a unconfessed sin, or to harbor a pet sin and refuse to get right. Listen, the Holy Spirit is just going to irritate you and aggravate you over that and point at that and convict you about that. He's not going to allow you to have a whole lot of joy till you get that thing right. And so unconfessed sin in our lives a lot of time rob us of the joy. Instead of reading the whole thing, let's jump down to verse number 8. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Watch this. "Restore, restore, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." And that's what happened. David was still a Christian. David was still saved. He just didn't have any joy in his life. You know why? Because he'd committed a horrible sin with Bathsheba. Because he spent a bunch of time, instead of getting right with God, trying to cover it up and hide it. And one sin led to another sin that led to another sin that led to another sin. Next thing, he's lying. Next thing, he's being deceitful. Next thing you know, he's even committing and planning an assassination. He carries that thing out. He's getting deeper and deeper. And then that happens to Christian people. That happens to Christian people. And next thing you know, you look around and you think, how in the world did I get in this mess? Look at all these things. And you know what the devil whispers in your ear? See, it's too late. You're too deep. You've complicated things too much. You might as well forget it. You're never going to be right. That is a lie. You have a loving, forgiving God. You have a God that no matter how deep a hole you've dug for yourself, you can't get so deep that the grace and mercy of God can't reach down and get you and pull you up out of that miry clay, set your feet upon a solid rock, and establish your going. Don't believe the lie of the devil. I've gone too far. I've done too much wrong. My life's too tainted. I might as well just live it out. Don't believe that. That is a lie of the devil. The greatest day for a Christian, a backslidden Christian, is the day that they just decide, you know what, I'm going to go to the Father and I'm going to confess all of this. I'm going to claim all of this. I'm going to own all of this. I'm not going to blame anybody else. I'm going to say, God, listen, it's nobody's fault but mine. I haven't done this just against other people. Mainly I've done it against you, and I need to come to you first and get this right with. And listen, God is a wonderful God. He's a forgiving God. He's a restorer of the joy of salvation. And I can never be happy. Yes, you can. I can never have that joy. Yes, you can. But you got to make sure, folks, that when we get in these conditions, we go to the right. It's not about you coming and confessing your sin to me. This isn't Father Jerry up here. And it can't do you any good to confess your sin to me. You go to God. Go to God. Go to that quiet place and say, Lord, just be honest with me. Lord, I've sure made a mess of my life. Look at this. Look what I've done. And God, it's nobody's fault. I'd like to blame someone, but it's not. It's me. I made these decisions. I caused this thing. And Lord, I'm sure I've broken your heart and disappointed you. And Lord, all I can do is fall on your mercy and grace. Please forgive me. Please wash me. Please restore me. And you know what you'll find out? There's a sweet, loving Heavenly Father that will rush to your side, and the blood of Jesus will wipe out those sins. And you know what? He'll begin the restoration time in your life and getting you back where you ought to be. And, well, that's good news. That's good news. I think there's so many Christians that are struggling around, and they really are. They're having a tough time. And they've gotten themselves all cattywampus, and the devil's sitting on their shoulder saying, it's too late, it's too late, you've blown it. You know, I don't care where you are. I don't know a lot of you in this room, even the folks that I know the best. You know, you only know a certain amount of anybody. And I don't know what you carry in your heart or carry in your past, but let me tell you something. Stop letting the devil beat you up with it. You get it under the blood, get it forgiven. Go on and realize if God's forgiven you, you know what? You ought to forgive yourself. If God's forgiven you, you ought to forgive yourself and go on for the Lord. Boy, I'm glad I serve a God like that. I'm glad I don't serve a vindictive God. I'm glad I don't serve a God that when I go to him and say, Lord, I blow it. I know it. And you knew better. Yeah, I did, Lord. All I can do is just confess. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you, I'm sick of you. I've had it with you. You've shamed my name for the last time. Hit the road, bud. There's no forgiveness left. You've sapped me out of all my forgiveness. No, you're never. That's never going to happen. That is never going to happen when you go to God. Every single time He's going to provide for you love and forgiveness and restoration. Boy, that's a good thing, okay? So maybe that'll help you this morning, okay? Watch this. Let me go to Psalms chapter 16 since we're back there and look at verse number 11. And boy, I've got about eight things and I'm going to get about five of them done maybe. But joy is a wonderful thing. And having the joy of the Lord is a wonderful thing. But your joy is increased or diminished depending on your, watch this. Remember, the joy is a result of an inward condition. Joy is a result of an inward condition, not outward circumstances. So no matter what I do to try to set up all these things to try to make me happy, the happiness is only going to last as long as the things are around me. But even in that, you never get the satisfaction level that you think you ought to get. But there's something about being a Christian and being right with God and seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit and trying to do the right things that just brings the joy of the Lord. Now, Psalms chapter 16, are you there? Verse number 11. What a beautiful verse and what a wonderful principle this is. Verse number 11. Thou wilt show me the paths of life in thy presence is, I love this little statement, fullness of joy. See, I think that our joy level can fluctuate here. Am I the only one that's experienced that? I think our joy level can fluctuate. And here it says, joy comes from spending, let me give you this truth, joy comes from spending time in the presence of the Lord. Now, listen to me, Christians. Let me help you a second here, okay? Let me help you a second. You know what? I think joy is like, we gotta get hooked up to our joy charger.
Amen.
I did the feeding this morning. And yes, that's part of my routine, my daily schedule, is I get up and get I want to just encourage you. Blessed Hope Baptist Church and folks that are here, if all the time you spend on the battery charger is from 9:30 to 12 on Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Sunday night and 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, and that's the only time you spend in the Bible, and listen, you need a daily charge up your battery. You just got to charge your battery up, okay? So joy comes from that. Let me give you one more concept. I've got about 2 minutes, okay? Let me give you one more concept, okay? Go to Psalms chapter 30. Psalms chapter 30. And look at verse number 5. Psalms 30 and verse number 5. And we'll look at three verses quickly, and then we'll be done, okay? Psalms 30, verse number 5. And his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Watch this. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, let me give you the truth before I read the other two verses, because I'm not going to have time to give you anything else, and I want you to think about the truth when we read this verse. Greater joy, advanced joy, greater joy is often produced at the price of temporary sorrow and tears. Well, I want you to get this. This is so important. Greater joy is often produced at the price of temporary sorrow and tears. Hey, Brother Jerry, how do you graduate up the ladder of joy? And how do you experience greater joy and fullness of joy? You know how you do it? It's amazing, this wonderful connection in the Bible that talks about how God sometimes allows us to go times of sorrow, temporary sorrow and tears. And it seems like the joy of God is gone in our life. And maybe we can't even figure out why. Maybe it's because of circumstances we can't control. But the Bible says this, you know what? If we'll endure, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now let me have you go to Psalms 126. Psalms 126. Now think about that as we read these verses, and then we'll have to pray and quit. I'll just let the Lord help you make the application here, okay? I don't know what you're going through right now, but let me share something with you. If you say, Brother Jerry, I don't know of anything wrong. I think I'm right with the Lord. I don't have any unconfessed sin. I'm trying to read my Bible and pray, but it just seems like there's a time of deep hurt in my life. Let me tell you something. A lot of times God takes you through that to graduate you out to a higher level of joy. Psalms 126, verse 5. I love this. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And sometimes there's a sowing process. You know, you're going to appreciate joy, the joy of the Lord, a lot more if at times you have to experience sorrow and grief. You're going to appreciate it more. Let me give you one more because I love this. Hebrews chapter 12. And we see this, Hebrews chapter 12, we see this exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2. I love this. I love this. I love it. I love it. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Watch this. Looking unto Jesus. Let's look to his example. Why? Because he's the author and finisher of our faith. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Sometimes, you know what? There's joy that's out there, and there's joy available for it. But the order for us to get to it, we have to endure the cross. And there's going to be times, folks, listen, you say, oh, Brother Jerry, I just wish I could live this happy, glad, joyful, calm all the time. I'm trying to live for the Lord. I'm trying to be in my Bible and pray. There's not a problem between me and my relationship with God. How come sometimes it just seems like, let me tell you something, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Okay, sometimes you have to sow in tears to reap in joy. Sometimes God asks you to go through good Christians that are right with God. Job's. Sometimes God asks good people just to go through hard things. You know why? Because he says, I want to take you to a greater level of joy. And the only way you're going to discover that greater level of joy is if you have to go through a time of sowing. And you know, Jesus did that. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't enjoy it and didn't want to do it. But you know what? He knew on the other end, God was going to teach him and show him some things and heighten his joy. And I don't know what you're going through, but if you're going through something like that, let me tell you something. Don't give up. Don't quit. Because God has something, a whole higher level of an experience with him that's waiting on the other side of if you'll just go through it. So I pray for you. I want everyone in here to know what it is to have the joy of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our time together. And God, I thank you for the sweetness of your word. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit, Lord, in each of us that are saved. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, the service that will follow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We'll dismiss for about 7 or 8 minutes and then meet back here for our morning service.